I don't know whether you've been to workshops before, but I have been to some where they're really nothing more than another message, which is sometimes good and sometimes bad. But in my workshops, you do the work. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to investigate this whole subject of the quiet time. And with an audience such as this, where some might even be questioning what is a quiet time, to the place where we have some super spiritual giants that have probably been having one for at least this week, we want to make sure we try and hit everybody and give everybody a little bit of information on this. Before we get into this, though, why don't we just pause in a word of prayer. I didn't get in on Leroy's message last night, but I do know some of the history. And let's just pause in a word of prayer about his son and unite our hearts together behind Leroy and Virginia in this thing. Lord, we know that you're the God of the universe. We know you as the creator. And we know you as one who's concerned about individuals in that creation. And we know you're concerned about Leroy's boy. We know that you have a purpose in this. We know that the enemy is not just seeking to sidetrack this young man, but he really wants to devour him. And so we don't know all the circumstances, but we come and we unite our hearts together behind Leroy and Virginia and their boy in this thing, and that we ask that glory might be brought to your name through these circumstances. We have no idea of how you'll work that out, but we do ask that the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted in this situation. We pray for much grace for them and strength in this time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what we'd like to do this morning is, and we're only going to take 25 minutes. We'll be finished here and out by 11:30, so you discussion group leaders, you got a break on this morning's time, but you're going to have to lead this next session because you're going to have a little more time to do it in. And I want to cover four basic areas in the quiet time. First of all, what is it? You know, what is quiet time? Why is it necessary? What are some of the problems that we encounter in having a quiet time? And then give you a few guidelines if they don't come out during the discussion of the first three questions. I'll give you a few guidelines that I think might be helpful to you. They're helpful to me. So let's have you talk about what is the quiet time. What is a quiet time?
Oh, it's just that, a quiet time. Very good.
I don't want you to tell me why it's necessary or anything else. I want you to tell me, what is a quiet time?
You could call it time alone with God.
Okay. Time with God. Okay? What else? What is it? It's communications. Okay. What else? Back there.
Personal fellowship with God.
Okay, personal fellowship with God. What else? Well, I think that's basically it, isn't it? No big deal. It's time with God. I'm glad it wasn't time in Bible study or time in reviewing your verses or time, but it's time developing a relationship, isn't it? The quiet time is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. Developing a relationship with the living God. Okay, let's talk about why is it necessary, and I think we'll get a little more food for thought out of this. What do you see as the most important things about the quiet time. Why is it necessary? Okay, that's the start. Continue to develop this relationship. Okay, what else?
Become more like him.
Okay, to become more like him. And how he hit on that, didn't he, a little bit this morning? To become more like him.
The time of feeding the inner person.
Oh, feeding. Yeah. Feeding the inner person. Getting power for the needs of the day. What else?
Stability. Direction.
Discipline. Discipline. Ooh. You could have gone all morning without saying that. Why is it necessary? Come on, there are lots more.
Sorting out priorities.
Okay, sorting out priorities. I missed one back here somewhere.
Perspective.
Perspective. Beg your pardon?
Peace.
Okay. Yeah. That heart quiet.
Survival.
Oh, beautiful. Now there's a very practical lady. Survival. Yeah. I don't know about you, but that's probably what my quiet time's all about. Survival. Okay, it's a command. That's probably a little strong, isn't it? It's more implied and indicated than it is commanded, right? Okay. There was one back here. Oh, yeah. Why is it necessary? Just take time to give thanks.
I think it's necessary because of my sinful nature.
Okay. It's necessary because of the sinful nature, and just to bring that before the Lord and be reminded of who I am and who He is. Good.
Cleansing.
Yeah, right. That would go right along with this, wouldn't it? Okay, you could use it to study the Word. We'll touch on that a little bit as we progress on this.
Yeah,
that'd come under here, wouldn't it? Know God.
Dependence.
Beautiful.
Praise.
Okay, dependence and praise. Praise, boy, this is good.
Intercession.
Just a time to pray.
Supplication.
Yeah, different kinds of prayer. Well, we could go on and on, but we're not going to take that time because I want to spend the major section on problems. I am not a problem-centered person, but I do realize that when we talk about any of these disciplines, that we all encounter certain kinds of problems. And I'd like to talk a little bit. First of all, let's identify what are some of the problems in having a quiet time. And we're talking now about a specific period of time set apart, that we set apart each day to do some of these things back here. Oh, back the other way. Okay? What are some of the problems?
Keeping it.
Okay. just doing it.
Getting up.
Yeah, that would depend, of course, on whether you have your quiet time in the morning or in the evening. Beg your pardon?
Interruptions.
Interesting that a woman would come up with interruptions. And men, we'll say a little bit more about that to you.
Small children.
Yeah, that's part of the interruptions.
Concentration
would be a problem. Okay, what else?
Sin.
Beg pardon?
Sin could keep you from having a quiet time. Will keep you from having a quiet time. Particularly if you don't want to confess it. What else?
Too busy.
Busyness.
What else?
The cares of the world.
Whew. Yeah.
There are almost too many to enumerate.
A hardened heart.
Guilt.
Illness.
I'm sorry?
Interruptions. More of this, eh?
Of becoming what? Mechanical?
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of dry up. I do that when I don't know how to spell a word.
All right. I'm not my secretary work, you know. Just cover yourself in your area of weakness. Get a good secretary who has a dictionary.
Well, sort of the opposite of that is structure or consistency, purpose.
Yeah, not having that can lead to frustration. And right, so you do need structure. Okay, that's excellent.
Lack of conviction.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, after all, I'm in the kingdom and I go to church a couple times a week.
No objectives.
Yeah, I think that would come in here under this structure. Some objectives.
What am I trying to accomplish? What do I want to do? Any more?
Right place, you mean
in terms of the word? Yeah. Where do I go next? Yeah. Okay, just the lust of the flesh, these cares, the lust of the flesh, the cares of the world. Okay. I'm sorry?
Unbelief.
Yeah, that could come in here, but let's put it down.
Going to bed too late.
Rising up too early.
Lazy.
Oh,
no, nobody in here could be lazy.
All right, now what I'd like to do is just take a few of these. And have some of you that are, you're not the expert, but some of you have overcome some of these difficulties. And I'd like to have kind of a little sharing time on how you've overcome some of these problems. For instance, I'd like particularly some of you gals to speak to this thing of interruptions, particularly as it relates to small children. And what is, you know, how have you figured out what's your best time and when to do it? And let's have a little kind of interchange here. And you will be helping someone else by sharing some of your victories and some of your defeats. So how about we just start off with you gals? Because if I ask the guys, we'll be here all morning just waiting for them to screw up the courage. And some of you girls will interact with us on this particular thing because I know it hits home.
how do you, you know, what are some of your frustrations in this thing, and how have you, some of you gals that are beginning to see some victory in it, what are some of the things you're doing? What are the practical things that you're doing to help you? Okay.
So I make a point that that's the time the phone goes off the hook.
Very practical. Take the phone off the hook and lock in that time.
I've been having a terrible time with this the last 2 years. And I finally asked my husband to help me with it, to keep the children away from me, to answer the telephone. So we get up at a certain time in the morning, and that's my time, and Bill has really helped me.
Okay, there's a very practical suggestion, ladies. And, of course, the men will all pick that up, and they will discuss with you this afternoon how to help you have a more successful quiet time. Now, that's how it ought to work. See, we have to cover for our wives and protect our wives' time in the Word. And, boy, if we're not doing that, then we are experiencing difficulties in our relationship. And that's a very practical suggestion. You know, gals, just throw up your hands and say, hey, look, you know, you are responsible for my spiritual well-being. I need your help. And it means take these kids for a half hour and run around the block. Do your jogging with them. Do something. But take these children. Very practical, isn't it? Very good. Appreciate that. That's a good one. Yeah. Right. Very good. Excellent. We're doing this too, with our 7 and 9 year old. And, just trying to kind of encourage them to, hey, just go and read. And we have enough Bible books available if they want to do that, or they can go color, but encourage a period of quietness and reading, particularly nailing them down because we want to help them in the area of reading. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, don't let the frustration. Yeah, you have to have the attitude that life is one constant interruption. And it's just how to cope the best way with those interruptions, right? That's good. There was someone over here. Yeah. Now that's great. And I really appreciate that. Just teaching our children that, hey, this time is very important to us, and that unless it's a matter of life and death, we don't interrupt. And there's a balance there. You want to have a... Go ahead. Beautiful. Great. Yeah. Great. Okay, gals, I think you got, do you want to, go ahead. Terrific. Yeah, and that would be dealing and coping with what JV said on illness back in there. That is a real problem, or some deal like this. Okay, let's, men,
I'd like you to speak to the area of busyness. And I know most of you are in the business world in one form or another. And if you're not there, then some of you are pastors, etc. And you're very busy. And I'd like you fellows to interchange some ideas and exchange some ideas here on how do you cope with the busyness of your schedule and get this time, this priority time.
We are commanded to put the Lord first.
Okay, so it's a mental attitude first, isn't it? You know, coupled with a spiritual command, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's really the underlying principle, isn't it? And it has to do with conviction. I mean, most people allow the busyness of their schedules to crowd out this kind of a thing because of lack of conviction that God, the seeking of God, the development of the relationship with God is my number one priority. Okay, that's great. That was a good one to start with. So just getting our attitudes right. Yeah. Yeah. So now you've mentioned several things. Discipline, a schedule. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Lee?
I'm busyness. The only thing that's helped me is somebody mentioned to me, just don't leave your place. You know, don't go out into your busy world until you've met the Lord. And so if I have my quiet time on my desk, just not get up from that desk until I've met the Lord.
Yeah. Ray Ho, when he was first helping me in this area, used to say, no breakfast, no Bible, no breakfast. Very simple. And I like to eat, so the sooner I get on with it, the better it is.
Well, I found at times when I wasn't able to keep my schedule or something like that, but I would share this with a brother and their prayer support would find tremendous help being able to get back to my schedule.
Good.
Okay,
let's see if we can answer that question. Why does it have to be on a schedule?
It'll never get done.
Okay, this man feels it'll never get done.
Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, guard your steps as you go to the house of the Lord. I was finding that unless I guard it at a specific time, that, just like you said, I couldn't get it done.
Okay.
Use that as a command.
Some other thoughts? Okay.
Lines there, we have to outline our lives and our guidelines and make a commitment to the Lord.
Okay. I'm not sure that we've answered the whole question yet, but let's try some more. You know, why do it? Why have it scheduled at all? Why not just let the Spirit of God, you know, work in your life throughout the day and just kind of grab it when the Spirit speaks?
I find that if I don't schedule, the spirit of Satan guides my life so that I'm busy, or I can switch it around. If I can switch it around at will, sometimes I switch it right out of the day, you know. And so I just find that I need to set aside a time that I determine in my heart before God that that's the time I'm going to live.
Okay. It seems the pattern of his life was to rise up early in the morning. Skip Gray says, my life verse is rising up a great while before noon. That's what he says about me.
I'm going to measure
careful at this, but what I could see from experience that I didn't have the strength and vitality that you get from the daily intake of the Word. I could just see it in my life, so I think it's imperative to, at the time, be in the morning before you go down to the office and before you mingle with the devil's people.
Yeah.
And that time has got to be before you go, and it's more important than that.
Good.
You know, I just started having a quiet time a couple months ago, and boy, I too had all kinds of problems, just not being a new Christian and whatever. And I found out, you know, by putting God before all these problems, that boy, these problems get a lot smaller. And people try to get me down at the right time, and I was nice and polite to them. You know, I said, you seem so interesting. But I wouldn't do it, because I too am asleep, and I wouldn't do it. But once I brought my flesh under the message of the Holy Spirit within me,
yeah. You know, I really appreciate this question because I think, you know, let's read behind the thing. I think what we're talking about is, you know, there's a tendency just to organize your schedule so much and, okay, I meet for a half hour or 45 minutes in the morning and that's it. And you kind of, you know, punch in with your, in the IBM clock and you meet with the Lord and then you go on about it and throughout the day you forget about the Lord. And I think this is what this gentleman is trying to bring out, you know, that it's more than just a place and a time during the day, but our attitude ought to be one of walking in the presence of God throughout the entire day, and I think we'd all agree with that. I kind of like to think of the quiet time and scheduling it in the morning and thinking of my car on a cold winter day. And I go out in that garage and I start that joker up, you know, and it kind of coughs, but as soon as it warms up a little, and that oil gets circulating through the, just how much more efficient that automobile is. And I kind of think of that in terms of my quiet time. It's, you know, I'm still an automobile regardless of whether I'm running or not, but throughout the day. But if I go out and warm that up in the morning and get my heart in proper fellowship with God, just how much more efficient I am throughout the day. And I've had all the problems and all the hang-ups that most of you have mentioned, and I'm sure we all have. None of us, or at least there aren't too many, that like to rise up early in the morning and begin to meet with God. Now, there are some that can do that, and boy, I praise God for you. You're a challenge to my life. But it seems that most of the fellows that I know and fellowship with, they all have the same problem. And that is just really disciplining the flesh to get up and get at it. Okay, anybody else? Is there one of these or one problem that has not been mentioned that you would like someone to speak to? Is there one of these that we have not in some way touched on? Okay, taking what you get and have something to chew on, and then I would ask the question of what happens when I don't get anything? And I become frustrated with that. How do some of you handle that? Taking what you get.
And right in there would be concentration.
Okay, concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just speak to that because I want to move along fairly quickly. But one of the things that's been the most help to me, and I don't want to assume anything, but it's just a diary. Every day when I get up and I read the Word or I do my review. By the way, my quiet time varies. Sometimes I'll review Scripture, and that's my total intake of the Word. You know why? Well, for me, it's a good use of time. I've got to get those Scripture passages done anyways. I'm going to, you know, in my review program. Not only that, but they're the choicest passages that I know on particular subjects. I memorize by subjects. So I look for verses on a particular subject. And that helps me to concentrate throughout the day. You know, let's say I've reviewed passages or verses on the Word of God or on prayer or on some other aspect. And I set my schedule, you know, what I'm going to do in a quiet time on a monthly basis. And sometimes I do my Bible study. You know, I'll set up, okay, for this month, I'm going to use my Bible study as my intake of the Word. And so I have a variety of different approaches, and usually about every month I switch over to some other thing because I want to keep fresh. I don't want to get mechanical or structured and so on. So I think, to me, the greatest help is a little diary. I just record where I am, what I've been reading, and thoughts. And I force myself to write. See, what do you do when you're not getting anything? Force yourself to write. Today, I don't seem to be getting anything out of the Word. God, what is happening? Are you not speaking? See, and write. And it doesn't need to be extensive. These are, that was a pretty long day. But most of the time, it's no more than a half a page. Take about 5 minutes or so to summarize some of the thoughts and write. And I really feel that that's one of the ways to overcome some of the staleness. Okay, I'm running just a little bit over. Let me just summarize and give you several guidelines here on how to have one. Then you're going to break up and discuss. Your discussion group leaders have already got some passages, and you're going to further discuss some of these things. And I think we've given you a platform to interact on a small group basis now, and should be very profitable. But obviously, in some guidelines to having a quiet time is, first of all, set a time. And I don't get all hung up about when that time is. When I'm working with a man and or a gal and trying to get them to have a quiet time, I want to know when they're going to have it. When in their schedule are they putting it in? Morning, noon, night, coffee break, doesn't bother me. Secondly, and I think this is very important, is the place. And I realize that, certain schedules, certain people with certain types of jobs are not able always to choose the best place. But pick your normal schedule. Those of you that travel and might have sales jobs or you travel extensively, don't try and figure out where that place is going to be when you're on the road. But when you are home, when you're in your normal operating pattern, pick out the place where you're going to spend that time. And I would suggest, gentlemen, that you don't pick your place of business, particularly if you have your business in your home. That desk, with all that paperwork and all those problems, is not the best place to concentrate on the Lord. And you gals, the same way. Don't pick the desk where you pay your bills and if you happen to handle the accounts, etc. Don't pick that place for your quiet time. Get a place, and I really mean this, get a physical place in your particular environment that's all you do there. It might be we have a chair up in our bedroom with a lamp, and that's kind of a neat spot to go. There's no papers around there, there's no correspondence, nothing. Just that chair and the Bible and pen and paper, and away you go. So actually get a physical place that's removed and a place removed from interruptions and distractions. And then thirdly, I think, is to know beforehand where you're going. It's just what Jenny DeHaan said over here. I need to have a program. What am I going to do this month? And again, I picked the month because I think it just ties in with my travel and so on. But what am I going to do this month in my quiet time? And have that outlined. Then, you don't drag out of bed wondering, oh, let's see, I wonder what I'll do today. I'll read a couple of Psalms, see if that'll cheer me up. It just doesn't work that way. Oh, yeah, today I'm reading in the Gospel of Luke. I know right where to go, and it helps me to get started immediately. Okay? Know your plan. And I would go by the clock. If you've got some extra time, great. But I try to, for me, Bible study and the quiet time, I'm good for about 45 minutes of reading the Word and studying. And then I have to go do something else. And I usually get up and go walk and pray. I have an attention span of about 45 minutes where I can really concentrate and get some good things out. So know yourself and know your plan and move in that direction.
Obviously, the quiet time should include meditation on God's Word. And I mentioned to you already that sometimes I'll do my scripture memory or my Bible study. You know how I got onto that idea? About a year ago, Howie Hendricks was speaking at one of our conferences, and I got some time with him over lunch. And I said, Howie, you know, you're a busy man, all the things that you do. How do you schedule in your Bible study time and your meditation time and your scripture memory time and your Bible reading program time? And he says, that's the problem with you yoke and navigators. You live such a complex life. You try to put everything. He says, can't you just, how can you, you know, no matter what form it is that you use to get the Word into your life, does that not lead you to a worshipful relationship with God and cause you to express that in prayer? So he gave me the idea of maybe, you know, particularly when I know that my schedule is going to be busy for a few weeks or a month, of combining some of those things and do my scripture. You know, don't feel so under the law to have all those things separated and compartmentalized. Just a good thought. But obviously it should include meditation on God's Word and prayer, particularly covering worship, thanksgiving, confession, and personal petitions. I happen to be a firm believer of pulling out my intercessory prayer for the world and putting that in a different time zone. Because the thing that I found was that I was not spending enough time worshiping God and praying just for the needs of my own life and my family. But I was concerned about the Billy Graham organization and all of these other tremendous endeavors. But for me, as I analyze my prayer life, the bulk of my time is being spent praying for all these other things. And so I separate, that is one thing I do in my prayer life, is I make sure that I spend that block of time and concentrate on the personal life, on the family life, and then I pull my intercession into a different time. Now, it might be that I only separate the two by a cup of coffee. But in my mind, I have them separated. A.W. Tozier says that, and I forget the quote. Forget it. I'll get it here in a second. Meantime, turn to Proverbs 13, verse 4. This is the last verse. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Review. A.W. Tozier says, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. And you know, I think that, to me, summarizes the quiet time and what I am trying to accomplish in my quiet time. It's to get a better image, a renewed image of God. We tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. And for me, I want my mental image of God to be conditioned by His Word and by my interacting with Him in prayer. And in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desires. Did you know that? Even lazy people have tremendous desires. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. See, folks, it's not just good enough to have an inclination toward God, to have an inclination toward these spiritual things, to have some kind of a, you know, tickling of the heart or an itching of the heart is not good enough. The soul of the sluggard desires and has not. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And I think the key to success in these areas of life are almost directly proportionate to our obedience and to our diligence, even when we don't feel like it. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then you discussion group leaders can carry on. Lord, we do thank you for this day, for the opportunity to discuss these things, and we commit now the discussion groups to you. We pray that there might be a free exchange of ideas, and that your Holy Spirit would continue His work in each life throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.